This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
A reckoning. We have to have one. I'm going to explain why we need one, and perhaps person number one on that list. Plus my friend Kurt Schlichter, Josh Hammer, a great light in the mood. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time for COVID communism. A reckoning. We talk a lot about a reckoning. We need a reckoning. We need a reckoning. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. I know you say it. We need a reckoning. We need, as I've explained a bunch of times, public officials, politicians, public health officials, others. We need them to be placed in handcuffs, put on trial, a public trial, one of the televised trials, so the entire country can see. And then, after they receive a fair trial, they need to go to prison for decades, if not the rest of their lives. And I need to explain, before I go into the COVID communism stuff and Dr. Birx and everything else, I need you to understand why I say this all the time. All the time why I say this. It's not because I'm vengeful. It's not about revenge. Although, to be fair, to full disclosure, I am vengeful. I do despise these people, but that's not why I call for a reckoning. This is why I call for a reckoning. If you're, let's say, a public health, they love that word, a public health official, and you are faced with maybe a new virus of some kind, whatnot, and you're going to have all kinds of different people with different interests chirping in your ear. Maybe you're analyzing what you should tell the public to do because you got this new virus out there. And the teachers' unions, they're telling you, hey, we don't want to go back to school. We want to renegotiate new deals. And you're considering that. In the pharmaceutical company, you probably have relatives working on the board there, or you yourself will go work on the board there. The pharmaceutical companies tell you, hey, we'd really love it if you could maybe ramp this very serious virus up. Might help our sales numbers. Yeah, whatever, it's your future. But full disclosure, that's what these people go through. You know that, right? They have all this pressure coming at them to do things that don't benefit the public at all, that don't serve the public's interests at all. Because they're in positions of power, because they're in positions of government, they have so many people coming at them for their own self-interests with their hands out. Now, that public health official, what chance does that human being have of resisting those forces of evil, of resisting those people, if they live in a consequence-free environment? If you're, say, I don't know, Dr. Birx, if you're Dr. Birx and you're faced with COVID, what is your motivation to not ramp it up all the way? What is your motivation? You can say, well, hopefully she's a human being with feelings and emotions. No, 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 no. These people are all demons. These people are all monsters. No, she's not. She's not one of those people. What's her motivation? Unless public officials, politicians and public health people and others, unless they feel like there's a good chance they will go to prison, well, they're all going to abuse their office because there's no incentive not to. That's why we call for a reckoning. I mean, you've heard me rant about Dr. Birx before. You do remember, this is the lady who, I mean, imagine this. This is the lady who stood up at a podium and told you, the American people, don't you dare travel for Thanksgiving. Look, people are dying. Do you hate grandma? Don't you travel for Thanksgiving. It would be too dangerous. And then left the podium and promptly got on a plane and went and partied it up at Thanksgiving with both sides of her family.
I'm making the personal sacrifices not to infect my parents and my pregnant daughter. I worry about that because then it gives people the option to say, well, if bars and restaurants are open, then I can have 20 people over for Thanksgiving. And so I don't like it to be any number. I like it to be keep it to your immediate household.
Let's not put a number on it. Hey, I'm making the sacrifices, except she didn't make the sacrifices. And then, of course, it came out that she traveled to hang out with her family. And what happened? What happened after that? I mean, this is, after all, a public health official. And she gave guidance to a country of 330 million people. And she lied. She blatantly lied. What happened after that? She retired. No arrests, no public trials. She simply retired. But it's way worse than that, because she didn't retire in disgrace, as so many said she did, as people thought she did. Oh, look at this disgraced woman, proved to be a liar and a hypocrite. No, 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 no. No, it's much worse, because we have a rotted, corrupt system. She retired. She had a book to write. She retired and chose to sit down and write a book on COVID and our response to COVID and the failures of Trump and others, as if she's some expert and conquering hero who can now hand out wisdom to everyone else. Yes, that's true. The public health official who should currently be lawyering up, facing a trial with the prospect of her going to federal prison for the rest of her life, instead, she's publishing a book that will make her millions of dollars. Oh, and the things that are in the book, this person published things that make her look worse than she ever looked before, and yet in her mind, she's never looked better. Do you remember the Chinese propaganda that came out at the beginning of coronavirus? And it was so obvious propaganda. You remember the videos of people falling dead in the streets? Now, I'm not an intelligent person. You know this. This has been well documented. I certainly don't have any kind of a high intellect, but right when those videos came out back in February of 2020, I looked at that and thought, hold on. Hang on. We're not seeing anything like that anywhere else where COVID is catching on. Hang on a second. Can we get some confirmation on that? It just... the same thing you thought when you looked at it. Hold on. Well, Dr. Birx said this. Staring at my computer screen as she watched these videos, I was horrified by the images from Wuhan, the suffering they portrayed, but also because they confirmed what I'd suspected for the last 3 weeks. Not only was the Chinese government underreporting real numbers of the infected and dying in Wuhan and elsewhere, but the situation was definitely far more dire than most people outside the city realized. Up until now, I'd only been reading or hearing about the virus. Now it had been made visible by a courageous doctor sharing this video online. Why would I bring this up, though? Okay, so I'm sure a bunch of people got taken in by Chinese propaganda. Why would I bring this up? Do you remember, and I bet you will remember this, it got fairly big, maybe it will. Do you remember, what was the number? 15 days to slow the spread. You do remember that, right? Something I've never seen before. Easily the second most revealing day of my entire life, as I watched the federal government and then went down to state and local governments tell the American people, tell the American economy to stop moving for 2 weeks. You do remember that, right? Well, let's rewind to what we were just talking about. Where did that come from? Well, that came from Dr. Birx and those around her after watching a Chinese propaganda video that turned out to be total crap. Oh, and wait, there's more. In case you're not angry yet, she knew 15 days was a lie. Now, granted, I knew it too. I told you right away. I screamed about it and told you they're not going to stop. What are you doing? But most people ignored me, so it is what it is. But she knew when she said it, it was a lie. And she admits this in her book that it was a lie. Quote, no sooner had we convinced the Trump administration to implement our version of a 2-week shutdown than I was trying to figure out how to extend it. 15 days to slow the spread was a start, but I knew it would be just that. Now, again, why? You know what? Let's be good people. Let's be kind people here. Let's give her all the benefit of the doubt in the world. Let's say there's no pharmaceutical companies, no teachers' unions, no nothing. Maybe Dr. Birx really is just a weapons-grade idiot and believed all the COVID hype, and she saw the video, and she just was so scared for America. And so Dr. Birx sits up there, and again, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, which she doesn't deserve, but she looks at all of America's businesses, America's school children, America's everything, and she knows, as anyone with a brain would know, that 15 days to slow the spread, that alone would do mountains of harm. But she decides the virus is serious enough, it's worth the risk. Back to what I asked in the beginning. Without the threat of imprisonment, what's her motivation not to make that call? Of course she's going to choose to abuse the American people, abuse America's children, because there's no incentive for her not to make that call. You see, these people, without a reckoning, without the potential for a reckoning, these people are going to do nothing but use their power to abuse you over and over and over and over again because they have no reason not to. This woman is about to make millions on this book tour that's going to nauseate you. Not only is she not facing prison, she's going to be eating she's going to be drinking cocktails and conch fritters in Barbados this time next year. This lady's facing a life of wealth and fame now because she lied to you, because she did what the system wanted her to do, and that's destroy the thing that was going to get Donald Trump elected, destroy the economy. And look, he's got to own that too for allowing this idiot and her friend, Dr. Idiot Fauci, destroy the economy. A lot of that's on Trump too. That should have never been considered. They should have both been fired the second they brought that up. But still, she brags about it. She brags about making things up. Do you remember when they told you over and over and over again about how many people you could have in your home? Hey, no more than 3, no more than 2. What about 10? Hey, let's stick with 10. Do you remember all the family, friends, neighbors maybe, co-workers, people you know who you either lost your relationship with or had your relationship damaged? Oh, no, you can't visit. Nope, Aiden's not vaccinated. You can't visit. Do you remember all that? She made all that up too. Quote, I had settled on 10 knowing that even that was too many, but I figured that 10 would be at least palatable for most Americans, high enough to allow for most gatherings of immediate family, but not near enough for large dinner parties. Listen, by the way, just pause real quick. Listen to how she speaks as if she's someone who should be in charge, giving guidance to the masses. It's amazing the hubris of these people. Critically, large weddings, birthday parties, and other mass social events. Similarly, if I pushed for zero, which is actually what I wanted and what was required, don't lose sight of that there. Zero, which is what I wanted and what was required, this would have been interpreted as a lockdown, the perception we were all working so hard to avoid. She goes on to explain how she actually admired what they did in places like Italy, where they essentially had people locked inside of their homes. And this may sound like a gigantic pick on Dr. Burke's section, but it's actually not. It goes way beyond Dr. Burke's, way, way beyond Dr. Burke's. The people who run this country, not just government, not just politicians, Democrats, Republicans, our public health officials, our media, these people all feel totally comfortable destroying the country because they know they're never going to face prison. What are the three things they all have in common? You know by now. What are they? You know it? One, no love of country. Oftentimes they hate it, but they never looked out at destroying America and thought, oh no, that sucks, land of the free, because that thought wouldn't go into their head. Two, no idea about the real world, how real people live, no connection to it at all, too much time in egghead academia. Oh, of course, just shut down your business for 2 weeks. And three, and this is probably most applicable to her, an ironclad belief that they should rule as kings and queens. Your freedoms are nothing but a nuisance that's holding the world back. They should have more power. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have a great show for you. My friend Kurt Schlichter joins us next. Before we get to that, they did destroy the economy. You see what's happening out there right now. Protests, people starving already. It's awful. I mean, look, and this is worldwide, and that's what makes it so scary. It's worldwide. We're all surrounded. What do you have for food in case that grocery store isn't open tomorrow when you go down? I mean, you realize that's what people across the globe are already going through right now, right? Are you dead? Do you have food? My Patriot Supply will hook you up with a 3-month food supply. 3 months of emergency food, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I hope you never have to use it. I hope it goes to waste. I hope you're looking at it 20 years from now thinking, oh man, dang it, can't believe I did that. Maybe you will though. 3 months. You can get $150 off your 3-month food supply when you go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Yourself and your immediate family members get all of you a 3-month supply, all right? We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Hit him on idols because you guys are celebrating his life.
It was a terror. I'm sure it was a terror.
It's not okay.
You're alive. Shut up.
You guys need to just let it go. Grief and silence. This is not okay. This is not a George Floyd situation. George Floyd was unarmed. He was unarmed.
You're alive.
Sorry. This is not okay. My kids have to deal with this and probably have a mental illness now because they almost lost their life. There's bullet holes in my kitchen.
How do you know?
In the hallway.
In case you're wondering what you're looking at there, a man named Tekel, I don't know if that's how you say his freaking name, Tekel Sundberg was killed in a standoff with police. Who was he? dude, black dude, I guess that matters in this situation, started firing off rounds. This woman sitting there cooking dinner for her children, and rounds start coming through the walls of her apartment, ends up in a standoff with cops, an armed standup with cops, and he gets killed. And that's Black Lives Matter out rallying on behalf of this wonderful citizen. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, my friend Kurt Schlichter, also author of the book, new book I would recommend. You looking to feel a little bit better about things? The book's called We'll Be Back, The Rise and Fall, or The Fall and Rise of America. We'll Be Back. I love it because there's so much negative out there right now. It's nice to read something hopeful. Kurt, are people finally on to the BLM scam, or were they always on and people were just too scared to talk about it?
Yes. There's your answer. What do you say about that? I don't think there's anything we can add. I think what we need to do is ensure that normal people see this, and normal people watch this poor woman whose kids were almost killed by Mr. whatever the name is, Taco or whatever. I don't know what his name is. I don't care. and he's got these, you know, lowlifes, including, you know, mayonnaise guy over there, defending the criminal. And I just want normal people to see it. See, we're immune to this, Jesse. This doesn't shock us. This kind of hypocrisy and idiocy and embrace of scumbags doesn't in any way surprise us. We are based in woke, conservative woke. But normal people see that and they're like, well, wait a minute. This guy was like shooting and almost shot her kids and he's the good guy? I don't understand. And that brings that moment of clarity for normal people that we need to get them on board to help destroy everything the left dreams of.
Kurt, you've got an article out about national divorce. Now, everyone knows, I've long pushed for national divorce because I think this country is going to an ugly place without it. I actually don't want to see a single person get hurt. I just think we need to walk away. Kurt, what say you?
Look, Jesse, you know my deep and abiding respect for you, but I don't think a national divorce is going to function the way you're hoping. Okay. Yes. Now, in this, I see us as Johnny Depp and them as Amber Heard, and you know we'd be living next door, and I could imagine Amber Heard climbing in our window, and well, you know what she'd leave in the bed. It's not a great thing. There's a lot of practical problems. If you're getting divorced, you want to move to a different side of the continent. You don't want her right next door. And how do you split things up like the national debt? And also, job of defending the continent. You think our blue friends with their gender studies degrees are going to want to join the Marines? Well, now they may want to join the modern Marines. And I'm assuming if we had our own country, we'd go back to like a badass Marine as opposed to just bad. I mean, there's just a lot of details, but the bottom line is there's no easy way to end this. We have to beat them in terms of ideology. We have to convince more people to come to our side and keep them there so that these weirdos, losers, and mutations are treated as the fringe lunatics that they are.
Kurt, are we winning? Because I agree with you, by the way, on the winning people to our side. I at least agree with you with that portion of it. But are we doing that? I mean, I've long said the neighbor across the street who agrees with you and me on everything but doesn't get involved politically, what we need is him to wake up and get involved. Yeah. Is he waking up and getting involved?
Well, he's going to wake up when his kid comes home and goes, I used to be Mikey, but now I want to be Madeline because my non-binary other than furry teacher told me I needed to explore my gender horizons. And normal people are going to who want to live a normal life, because you and I are weirdos. We want to deal with all this political stuff. The normal people want to grill things and go to Little League games and, watch the occasional Top Gun Maverick. But sometimes politics comes and interferes in their lives when they're paying $6 a gallon for gas. Now they've got to think about it. And when they think about it, they get mad about the person who's making them think about it. And I'll give you another cause for hope. You're aware of my unbelievably attractive Hispanic Latinx. I want to make sure I get it correct. Latinx white. Latinx voters who were supposed to be the great hope for the Democrats, who are going to win every Democrat election for them because they were going to obediently stay down on the farm and vote the way their masters told them to, said, no, we're not doing that. We're not playing that. They are now 50% Republican and growing. And it's the economy. It's this culture stuff. And you know, Latinx Americans, and by the way, Latinx is now our word, and I plan to bludgeon them with it forever, our leftist friends. They don't go for this nonsense. These are faith, family, and flag-oriented people. I mean, holy cow. They're not going to put up with this crap. And the Democrats thought they could rely on them. Oh, they'll be our little third-world peasants. It's so condescending and annoying. And now it's just exploded in their faces. I'm very happy. I think normal Americans are going to save America. They got to wake up. They got to get activated. And that's the hard part. But once they do, they're going to do the right thing. I'm optimistic. I think we win. And here's the other thing, Jesse. I can't see us losing to these goofs. Can you see us losing to these people? I mean, they're pathetic with their dumb hair and piercings and bizarre pronouns. I'm not going to lose to people like that. Come on.
Okay, what if they're losing but we're not winning? And this is what I mean, Kurt. There's no question, you know, Democrats are going to lose big in the midterms. You know, probably 2024 and all. There's no question about that. But who's winning, Kurt? I mean, if it's the same Republicans who have been winning, I mean, you're going to have to forgive me if I don't get up on the desk here and dance for you. That doesn't do anything for me.
No, you've got to direct that anger, and that anger is working. Look, a couple weeks ago, 14 senators joined with John Cornyn in the worst compromise I'd ever seen. If I, you know what kind of swell car I drive. I drive a 69 Yugo. If I came to my clients and said, hey, I just negotiated you a deal where I just gave them less of what they wanted and got you nothing. And they passed this gun thing. 15 senators voted for it, except it would have been 35 10 years ago. Slowly but surely, we are purging the Republican Party of the soft boys, the femboys, the wusses, the bow ties, the cruise ship virgins, and the losers. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a few election cycles. But, you know, next time we'll probably have Blake Masters in. We'll probably have J.D. Vance. We're going to have some people who are hardcore. And, you know, we're going to be saying adios, Rob Portman, adios, Toomey, and a bunch of these other guys. It's going to take a while. Rome wasn't burned in a day, and it won't be rebuilt in a day. And the same with the United States. It's going to take us a while, but we're on the winning side.
I like it. The book is We'll Be Back. Kurt Schlichter is his name. Go order it now. Kurt, thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Adios, my man.
All right. Democrats are in really bad shape. Hey, let's feel good about something. We're going to talk about what bad shape they're in here in just a second. Before we talk about that, let's talk about this. You ever heard of Sahara dust? I didn't know this was a thing. So if you're sitting there saying, no, I've never heard of it, don't feel stupid, because it was like 48 hours ago I found out. Apparently down here in Houston where I live, it's putting people in the ER. I mean, people are getting such bad allergies from the atmosphere down here. They're just a mess. Apparently, their eyeballs hurt. And apparently, it's a big deal. Now, I didn't know that because I have 3 Eden Pure thunderstorms in my home. I'm not worried about Sahara dust. My Eden Pure thunderstorms, they're doing in my home what nature does after a thunderstorm. If you walked into my house right now, you'd be able to smell how clean the air is. My air is constantly being cleaned. Not covered up. They're not covering up odors. Cleaning viruses, mold, Sahara dust out of my air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code Jesse. That gets you a 3-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. This Hunter Biden stuff's not going away. It's not going away. Now, let's all be clear on why it's not going away. Because the media wants him gone. We'll get to that in a minute. But this Hunter Biden stuff keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm actually not talking about all the drug use and the women, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking specifically about Hunter Biden's crooked business dealings and his connection to his father. We've already played for you the voicemail 1,000 times of Joe Biden calling Hunter Biden, hey, we spiked the story, you're good to go. So on. There's more now. You know, Hunter has said repeatedly, and Joe has said repeatedly, oh, we don't talk about business. Me and my dad don't talk about business, which is, of course, ridiculous. What son doesn't talk business with his father? I'm not even on crack, and I talk business with my dad all the time. Your dad's the one you go to talk to about business, right? So that was aside, but now we know it's worse. The New York Post is reporting Hunter met with his father at least 30 times at the White House and vice president's residence, but that's not even just that bad. Oftentimes, he was just days removed from having returned from an overseas business deal. Ouch. That looks bad, doesn't it? But it's way more than that. It's the back taxes. It's the Hunter Biden laptop. And honestly, the most damaging thing that's happening right now with all the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stuff is this. The media is reporting on it. That's the most dangerous part. The media is reporting on it. You see, the media never reports on things that can take down Democrats. That's why they initially covered up this entire story to the point of censoring people who even linked to the story. They wanted this thing dead. They killed it prior to the election. And now they're out there being proactive when it comes to this? Why? Well, you remember why. I've told you why. My prediction has been and will be we are going to have midterms. It is going to be an electoral bloodbath for Democrats. And then after those midterms, they're going to kick Joe Biden out. I'm going to read for you a couple quotes here from the real president, Jill Biden. You see, she had a little event in Massachusetts, big fancy donor event, doesn't matter what it is. But I want you to listen very, very closely to the specific words Jill Biden used in these sentences. You ready for this? The president had so many hopes and plans for things he wanted to do, but every time you turned around, he had to address the problems of the moment. He just had so many things thrown his way. Had? Is Joe Biden still president or not? Why are you talking about Joe Biden's presidency in the past tense? Oh, I don't know. Maybe this is why. Joe Biden takes off on a trip overseas. California governor and presidential hopeful, if the rumors are to be believed, California Governor Gavin Newsom flies to Washington, D.C. to meet with Joe Biden's chief of staff in the White House as soon as Joe Biden left. And remember, I want to give credit to the Washington Free Beacon. Remember, if Joe Biden does resign, Dome is the backup.
I think that there can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority.
As one nation, undivided, out of many, one.
Can't get around it. Can't get around without it.
You are the mayor.
I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe that certain issues are just settled. Oh.
It is the responsibility as a chief legal officer, which each of them has a responsibility of being.
This is a community in the Mississippi Delta that has a long history of being part of America's history.
Healthcare from the neck down and healthcare from the neck up, that's called mental health care.
She's the best. All right, Josh Hammer is going to join me next to talk about this embarrassing administration. Before we get to that, I know that was funny, but in all truth, these people are still running the country. Have you seen the inflation numbers? They're not getting better. No one's even pretending they're getting better anymore. They're getting worse. So let's be frank about something here. We need to start taking steps to protect ourselves. I am not now, nor will I ever tell you to do something drastic. I'm not telling you to go build a bunker in your backyard, although that'd be sweet. I'm telling you to buy ammunition, water, food, and I'm telling you to have some gold in hand. Not gold you own somewhere, gold in your possession, in your home. Oxford Gold Group will send you gold to your home. You will always be able to buy groceries, ammo, and other necessities for your family as long as you are in possession of precious metals, because precious metals never lose their value, ever. They have always had value. They always will. Oxford will help you. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are?
That's the commitment we made. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust, honor those we lost.
Sure. I was given a list here. Steve Holland of Reuters.
We're doing great. Killing. We got to honor the Holocaust. Joining me now, my friend Josh Hammer. He's the Newsweek opinion editor and host of the Josh Hammer Show. Josh, I know, look, it's funny. All this stuff is funny, but honestly, it really does make us look terrible. What do these foreign countries think? Friends and enemies alike, when the president goes overseas and does this, man.
Jesse, great to be with you as always. I mean, look, I'm running out of words at this point to describe the absolute train wreck, the just complete clown show that is this presidency. But the problem is, as you say, you know, if Joe Biden were making these sort of misstatements of American law when it comes to Taiwan, if he were calling for Vladimir Putin to be deposed from power, which, by the way, just focusing on that one incident where he kind of veered off script, he was in Warsaw, Poland, speaking there in late March. Generations of Cold War presidents, going back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy, Eisenhower, Truman, all the Cold War presidents, they knew never to call for the Soviet Union then head to be deposed, because you're dealing here with a nuclear armed hegemon. So at this point, you know, if this were 20 years ago, the Joe Biden of the 1990s, when he was a mid-career senator from Delaware, we might have been able to laugh it off. Oh, that's just Uncle Joe. You know, he comes to a Thanksgiving dinner table, the gaffes, whatever. But it's really just not funny anymore. I mean, you know, Jesse, you and I are red-blooded American patriots. This is not just profoundly embarrassing. It is getting profoundly dangerous. I mean, in that montage right there, he's risking getting us into war with Russia, potentially with China, obviously our arch geopolitical foe this century. What's happening there in Israel is, like, I mean, how do you even like describe that? The truth and honor of the Holocaust? I mean, is this David Duke talking? I mean, like, what is going on here right now? I mean, it's just really just like disgusting stuff, Jesse.
It is, which brings us to the point. I mean, it's one thing for me to say, Josh, that I'm going to go have a cheeseburger tonight, but I don't want to go to that cheeseburger joint because it sucks. I have to have another cheeseburger joint. Josh, there's no backup. There's no one coming to save us. The backup is Vice President Dome, or maybe Rear Admiral Buttigieg for 2024, or Elizabeth Warren, or Bernie Sanders. I mean, there's no backup, right? Is there a backup?
No, of course not. I mean, that's the tragedy of this situation, is that our backup option, Kamala Harris, is literally less popular as far as her approval rating than Joe Biden, who is historically unpopular, has the lowest approval rating in the history of presidential opinion polling at this present juncture of a presidency. So, look, I mean, you know, choose Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, it's kind of like choosing death by fire, death by tornado, earthquake, I mean, HIV, whatever. I mean, like, they're not particularly appealing options, but for sheer purposes of having someone who is less likely to veer off script in like an international stage and let his or her tongue slip us into World War III, I would roll the dice probably with Kamala Harris until 2024. But these are obviously like horrific options. And, you know, as of now, Republicans are going to clean house this fall, and I hope they do.
Yeah, I mean, you can always trust Kamala Harris, though, with a slip of the tongue. Also, Joe Biden was caught himself in a little bit of hot water this weekend, fist bumping MBS of Saudi Arabia and then getting snippy with reporters about it.
You look like a fist pump, Mr. President.
Why don't you guys talk about something that matters? I'll have to ask the question that matters.
Did it matter? What was the whole thing? I even heard there was some kind of hubbub about what kind of carpet. Joe Biden showed up on purple carpet. Trump showed up on red. Joe Biden fist bumped him. What are we supposed to make about all this, us ugly Americans, Josh?
I mean, it seems to me like they're trying to have it both ways on the visit to Saudi Arabia. So obviously, Joe Biden called the Saudis a pariah during when he ran for president in 2020. I was very critical of him at the time. I actually think Saudi Arabia, whatever their problems may be, is actually a very important transactional ally when it comes to containing Iranian hegemony in the region. Like, the Saudis had to sign off on Israel making peace with the UAE and Bahrain. So I actually tend to be pro-Saudi, not from like a moral standpoint, obviously. It's a horrific Sharia regime, but just from a purely kind of transactional, kind of clear-headed, realist foreign policy perspective. But the Biden administration, they try to have it both ways here. So he went to Saudi Arabia, which was obviously a 180-degree total backtracking of his 2020-era campaign promises. But then they tried that he wouldn't do a full handshake. He would just do this weak little fist bump. And they said it was COVID, but it obviously wasn't COVID because then he was shaking hands 2 days prior to that when he was in Israel. So, again, Jesse, the whole thing is just a clown show. I mean, like, this White House is, like, remarkably incompetent. Holding aside, like, whatever their wrong-headed views on the actual substance, on the actual policy, whatever, they have no idea what they're doing out there. It's a new disaster every day. And why. And obviously, at the end of the day, when he went to Saudi Arabia purportedly to achieve, which was to get them to commit to pumping more oil, he didn't even achieve that. So the whole trip just looks like he botched it every which way.
Well, at least he has the whole Palestine-Israel history down pat, though.
My background and the background of my family is Irish-American. And, We have a long history of not fundamentally unlike the Palestinian people with Great Britain and their attitude toward Irish Catholics over the years for 400 years. But,
Josh, I learned something new every day, my friend.
Jesse, I almost spit on my coffee when I saw that clip last week. I mean, what is he doing out there? Like, first of all, when his motorcade went from, you know, like Jerusalem proper to Eastern Jerusalem, they physically took the Israeli flag off of the motorcade, which is like a symbolic FU of all FUs. The Israelis actually told Joe Biden they would like to accompany him to meet there with Mahmoud Abbas in Eastern Jerusalem. He totally declined that. By the way, this administration, the Biden administration, has resumed paying hundreds of millions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer money to the Palestinian Authority in direct contravention of the 2018 Taylor Force Act, a bipartisan measure that the Trump administration managed to get signed into law, which basically said that as long as the Palestinian Authority has this horrific pay-for-slave program where they literally pay the salaries of the families of terrorists who kill Israelis, kill Jews, kill Americans. Taylor Force was actually obviously an American. He was a West Point grad. But the Biden administration has totally reversed on that. They are directly violating the 2018 Taylor Force Act. But like, this particular clip, I mean, like, he's trying to compare what happened like 400 years ago from his weird historical perspective with respect to London and Dublin to what's happening. I mean, like, the whole thing is just such, he has no idea what he's talking about. Honestly, like, I would challenge Joe Biden to name one significant figure in the history of British-Irish relations. I'm sure that he cannot name one who has anything to do with resolving those centuries of tension. He has no idea what he is talking about. He probably was veering off script there. Again, the guy is just a walking, stumbling obstacle to America looking anything other than horrific in the world. And I think I personally would roll the dice with Kamala Harris at this point over this just ridiculously incompetent near 80-year-old man.
Josh, you're a Jew, so this is a good question for you to ask for this reason, because you probably have followed this as a Jew closer than I have. I never considered, at least growing up, I guess I wasn't that political, I never considered the Democratic Party to kind of really have an axe to grind with Israel. Maybe they always did and I never saw it, but man, it really seems like that has ramped up. At least under Obama, that seemed like that really came to the forefront, and now that's just the Democratic Party platform. You are welcome to correct me, my brother. Am I wrong? Is this a recent thing?
So let the record reflect, Jesse, that I, you know, for the viewers and listeners of this show, that I am Jesse's quote unquote Jewish friend. So if Jesse wants to say that he has a Jewish friend, then, you know, I guess you're looking at him. Look, Jesse, you're really not wrong. So, you know, Israel became independent in May of 1948. I think May 15th, if I'm not mistaken, May 14th or 15th. Harry Truman was then the Democratic president. He was the first world leader actually to recognize Israel's independence. So Harry Truman was kind of lionized by generations of Jews and American Christians. Zionist for that reason. The tide starts to turn a little bit after the 1967 war. That's a six-day war where Israel won a miraculous victory. It was only after that war when they prevailed over the invading Arab armies from Jordan, Egypt, Syria, and so forth, that Israel became something of the Goliath as opposed to the David of the region. That kind of fit into the left's kind of underdog narrative, like the little guy, all that sort of stuff. But yes, the Obama administration really took that momentum from the 1967 war and really brought it to the next level. I mean, Obama obviously is a leftist through and through, obviously. He was, he's an acolyte of Saul Alinsky. He believed all of the left-wing academy crap, you know, basically just the total, like, anti-Semitic crap, basically, that the academy has been spewing for decades. He was the first president to take that academic gobbledygook and turn it into actual U.S. foreign policy. And Biden, obviously, was Barack Obama's vice president, so he's no better on this than his former bosses.
Josh Hammer of The Josh Hammer Show. Thank you, my man.
Anytime, Jess.
We are about to show you maybe the most epic light in the mood ever. I just can't get this smile off my face. I sent it to my producer. I think it was Friday I sent it to Matt. And then I've watched it. I've pulled up the text that I sent to Matt just so I can link to it and watch it about 10 more times this weekend. It's so sweet. I'll play you that in just a second. But first, are you stuck in a timeshare? If you're stuck in a timeshare, you're not alone. You should know that that's how these timeshare companies have operated for a long time. There are more people than you can count stuck in a timeshare. Don't believe me? Lone Star Transfer. They're the ones who are going to get you out of that timeshare you're stuck in. You know how many people they've helped? Over 16,000. Yeah, I said you weren't alone. You're not alone. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. How do I know? They guarantee the release of all liability to your timeshare. And they do it in writing and in a specific time frame. How about that for calling your shot? Stop feeling dumb. Stop paying those annual fees. Make a phone call to Lone Star Transfer, all right? 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. You're a phone call away from freedom. We'll be back. You know, last night I went up to my son's room because I had put them to bed and we put them down. We prayed with them and we said, boys, you be quiet tonight. No talking. They've been had a long day. They needed a good night's rest. We said, boys, you be quiet tonight. No talking. Hour and a half later, of course, boom, boom, boom. It sounds like a herd of buffalo were in the room. So it was my duty to go trudging upstairs and put the boys back to bed. Basically yell at them, make sure the boys were in trouble. And as I went storming into their room to make sure they were in trouble, I saw they had removed all of the bedding from their bed and constructed some sort of camping fort system of some kind. And I'll be frank with you, I didn't yell at them. Because even though they broke the rules, they accomplished something that was so impressive, I chose to ignore the rules. And you're going to see the greatest light in the mood ever with something right along those lines in just a second. Before we play it for you, I want you to do something for me real quick if you're a homeowner. If you're a homeowner, understand that your home title is online. It is online. I can't stress this enough. And I'm stressing this because I didn't know. When it happened to me, I didn't know. I thought my home title was a piece of paper in a bank vault. It's online. Hackers, the new cybercrime out there, is they're hacking into these things, forging your signature on it, taking a loan out against them. You have to pay it back, or you get evicted, or you can pay tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees, or you can just go to HometitleLock.com right now and sign up. What they do, they lock down your home title, they'll detect any tampering and shut it down immediately. HometitleLock.com. All right. It's time for a salute to to one of the greatest public pool performances I've ever seen in my life.
You're out of the pool.
What did we do wrong?
Beyond disrespectful, what all of you just did. Exit of the pool now. You're done. You're gone. Out of the pool.
Get those kids back in the pool. They earned it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind the scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.